On Monday, PM Netanyahu was forced to speak at the Knesset about the demand to form an official state commission of inquiry for October 7. The debate was heated. Angry families of victims and hostages were removed from the gallery. The demand to form a commission is as old as the war. The rejection of it by Israel's leaders is as rigid as their rejection of the demand that they take responsibility for the debacle. The discussion about a state commission, the most authoritarian such body Israel has to offer, is highly politicized. Neither the demand nor the rejection is substantive. The demand is made to embarrass the current leadership. The rejection is due to the fear of the possible conclusions. A week ago, the IDF presented its internal investigations of October 7 to the public. This was a flood of reports, dozens of them, replete with troubling details, whose bottom line was none other than the one we could all write on the morning of October 8. The IDF failed to predict, halt, and respond to a deadly surprise attack from Gaza. A state commission is the one from which a majority of the public expects a broader picture. It's the one from which the public expects answers that rise above the level of professional failure. A year and a half ago, when the demand was first made, there were good reasons to argue that an investigation must wait, as the war was still ongoing. Today, such reasons seem no more than an excuse. What then is the remaining explanation of the political leadership for its rejection of the demand? It is the same explanation that led to a year of upheaval over a judicial reform. The leaders and their followers argue that the Supreme Court is a political entity masquerading as a professional one. They do not want the Chief Justice to be in charge of appointing a commission as the law requires. The most difficult question in a substantive discussion about an inquiry, a discussion Netanyahu refuses to engage, is the one that is rarely mentioned, the scope of the investigation. Historian Yoav Gelber was the first to tell me that one commission of inquiry would not suffice for an event of such magnitude. Let's use one example. An investigation into all the actions that led to the disaster includes questions like, was the 2005 disengagement from Gaza a reasonable move? But this would send any commission down a rabbit hole of interminable questions. The commission would have to examine the decision-making processes, the arguments for and against disengagement, the warnings concerning severe consequences, the international pressures in the background, the constraints imposed on the government. If it turns out that the disengagement is the root of the problem, the seed of the October 7 tragedy, we could point to a culprit, PM Ariel Sharon. And of course, this is just stage one because nothing ends with the disengagement. What did the government do since then? Did it act appropriately in light of what transpired in Gaza, the Palestinian elections, the rise of Hamas to power, the beginning of the routine cycle of violence, the attempts to isolate Hamas, to close Gaza, to deter, to apply international pressure, to offer monetary bribes, to implement a policy of sticks and carrots, in the hope of containment and deterrence? Governments have come and gone. Ehud Barak, Benny Gantz, Avigdor Lieberman, Naftali Bennett were all defense ministers. Zippy Livni, Yair Lapid, Israel Katz were all foreign ministers. Of course, there's Netanyahu. Were alternatives offered to him that he rejected? And why did he reject them? And was the rejection reasonable, and only in hindsight seeming unreasonable, or was the rejection unreasonable in real time? And if there was such a rejection, was it for substantive reasons, or due to political constraints? The list goes on and on. The public wants it. It wants answers. It wants to know who is responsible, or who is to blame. But this is a simplistic and unrealistic expectation, no matter where you mark the starting point of inquiry. Blame Abraham, who brought us to this strange land. Blame Moses, who brought us back to it, or Joshua, who conquered it, or Herzl, who failed to convince his colleagues to move to Uganda, or Menachem Begin, who handed the Sinai Peninsula to Egypt without Gaza, or Yitzhak Rabin, who let Arafat enter Gaza, or Sharon, who evacuated Israel from Gaza, or Netanyahu, who wanted to have Hamas as a counterweight to the Palestinian Authority. Every link in this long chain holds a piece of the responsibility. Every decision was made without knowing that October 7 would be a possible outcome. Therefore, a state commission of inquiry that attempts to replace the long process of historical inquiry will raise new questions. The framing of the contours of inquiry will dictate the conclusions. Does this mean no commission is required? No, it means that we must lower our expectations. Establishing a commission to identify faults that can be corrected would be the right move. Expecting it to answer existential questions would guarantee disappointment. Something I wrote in Hebrew. A paragraph of Israeli politics. Benny Gantz in trouble. Gantz has no significant problem with the potential voters of the Mamluk Camp Party. Those who decided to stick with the party want him, trust him. So his problem is not with them. His problem is with everyone else. Voters on the spectrum from Bennett on the right to Golan on the left have a much higher level of trust in Gantz. Number 2, Gadi Eisenkot. Of course, a Bennett voter who trusts Eisenkot will not necessarily abandon Bennett if Eisenkot becomes the head of the Mamluk Camp Party. But there's at least a potential for that to happen. In the same way an Yisrael Beitenu voter will not necessarily abandon Lieberman if Eisenkot heads the Mamluk Camp Party. But he might have reason to reconsider. A week's numbers. The $64 million question. A reader's response. Rame writes, the Oscar for No Other Land is going to create a lot of trouble for Israel. My response. I'd list this problem as number 12,033 on Israel's list of problems. Shmuel Rosner is senior political editor. For more analysis of Israeli and international politics, visit Rosner's domain at jewishjournal.com/rosnersdomain.